Hey, what's up? Like, totally time for 90210.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the 90210 show. My name is Mark. With me, as always, is my wife, Carol. How you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. It's been a good week here. It is almost at October. It is March 25th, 1999.
It is. 1999. Gonna party like it's 1999.
There's a party in this episode.
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to be like it's 1999, but
they do mention that.
Stuff happens that makes no sense in this episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that happen in this episode. Confessions, which does not feature a confession.
Almost.
It's called confession, but it does not.
It almost does.
Kind of, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, kind of.
Well, yeah, she gets close, sure. But we have many things happening in this episode. Yeah. Some good, some bad, some ugly.
So first thing
we're not just
that
talking about Noah.
First thing that we noticed is Jason Priestley is no longer in the intro.
They got rid of him.
Yeah, there's no more chest bump.
He still executive produces the show, but he's no longer in the intro. Now it's first build is Jenny Garth.
Which kind of upsets me because, like, she sucks.
The blondes get first billing. Jenny Garth, Ian Ziering, then we go Brian Austin Green, then Tori Spelling.
How does he get billed above Tori Spelling?
I don't know, her dad's a producer on the show, too.
And she was, like, a bigger character in the beginning than he was.
Well, kind of. It was a long time before she had even a line, remember?
Oh, yeah. And I guess he was in the first episode with Ian
Stalking
Ziering.
Steve, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I guess I get it.
But then we get Lindsay Price, what's her name, Janet?
Yeah.
And then... No, Muppets next.
Oh, God, Muppet.
Muppets next, then Janet, then the Matt guy, the lawyer.
Yeah, and then Nat.
Yeah, but notably absent is Sophie.
Thank God. Mm-hmm. Was she in the beginning credits?
No, she's never been in the beginning credits, no.
Good.
No, they just shoved Matt in there right away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big spoiler. Was... Hilary Swank, was she in the beginning credits?
She was, yeah, at one point she was in the beginning credits, I believe.
That didn't go on for very long, though.
Nah, she wasn't on the show a long time. Huh. She got that movie. We'll see it.
Yeah.
It's coming out a couple months from now or something.
Okay.
But yeah, she got that movie, The Crying Game or whatever it's called.
The Crying Game?
No, it's Boys Don't Cry.
I was going to say.
Crying Game came out in 1993, I think, or 1992.
We did not watch it.
No, it was before we started doing tapes.
And it was when we were, like, in high school and shit. So,
yeah. Or a different age or whatever we were. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, we were in high school when we started making these tapes. That's, like,
I remember.
A fact.
You know, you don't think I remember the lore? You don't think I know the lore of our show?
Just saying.
The very consistent and uncomplicated lore of the show.
Oh my gosh.
Is the new lore going to be that you're dying?
Apparently.
What the fuck is going on with you?
I don't know. My asthma and allergies have been really bad, and like my chest feels all tight and stuff. It's not cool. It's not cool, man.
Well, I can loosen your chest up, but
stay away from me, weirdo.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. He was loosening up my fascia earlier.
I'm just saying that
it's not as dirty as it sounds.
No, it's not at all. Anyway, speaking of dirty, 90210, Carol, where do you want to start?
I don't know. I guess we can start with Kelly.
Okay. Kelly and the abused woman and her crying baby.
I don't understand Kelly's role. I don't understand her relationships
She's
with
a friend.
Anyone. But it was a professional relationship.
At one point it was, yes.
And when did it become more than that? Why is she part of this? Like, she's literally hanging out in this woman's house now.
Uh-huh.
Like, just to be there because of the storyline, but she has no reason to be there.
Because the writers needed something for her to do, that's why.
It's just, it annoys me. I don't know. Like, does it annoy you?
That she's all in everyone's life?
Yeah. And that she has nothing going on of her own?
Kind of, yes. Yes. I wonder if it annoys Jenny Garth, if it annoys the actress. Like, can my character do something? Can she have something, please?
But yeah, so she's at the court hearing that this new character, Matt, is, like, representing the abuser dude.
Yeah.
And he wins the case. So
He gets everything he wanted.
He gets not having supervised visits and...
like one weekday a week or something like that, and every other weekend.
Yeah, which, like, for a baby isn't bad, really. I mean... Yeah.
Once that baby starts going to school, it's can become a different thing, depending on where he lives, but...
Yeah, that's not a terrible arrangement, but, you know, she's afraid. The mom is afraid because he's been abusive to her. She doesn't want him to have the baby.
Yeah.
Which I get, but there's no guarantee that he would abuse the baby just because he was abusive to her.
No, although his first act with the baby is to take the baby to the racetrack.
I feel like he was doing that on purpose. I feel like that was manipulation. Like, he's like, he's saying to her, oh, I've got a big day plan. He's like, I'm going to come get the baby. I got a big day plan. You want to come? And then he gets there and he's like, yeah, I'm taking her to the racetrack. You used to love the track. Come with us. Mm-hmm. And it seems almost like he doesn't mean it, but he wants her to come. He wants her to be so afraid of what's going to happen that she'll come and end up with him again. He's using this child to manipulate her into spending time with him.
Wow. I let you talk. Uh-huh. For once.
Uh-huh.
And I was, the whole time I was thinking to myself, the writers aren't that clever. You've clearly put more thought into this than the writers did. But I don't know. As I listened to you, you convinced me a little, I think. Maybe that is what they were doing. If that is, that's decent. That's decent, like, below the surface writing, if that's... I really don't want to give them credit for it. I feel like you're putting the subtext in there, but I don't know. I mean, it does make a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, I guess it's possible that it's just I'm, you know, creating more because it's an abusive situation and it's not there, but that's what it seemed like to me.
And then Kelly, like you said, is in the house and she's like, hey, you know, if you can't fucking handle this or whatever, and he's like, I can handle it. She was like, yeah, but if you can't, and he's like, kicks a chair over, he's like, I said I could handle.
And like, I'm sorry, but even when I was watching it though, before he flipped out, I was like, who do you think you are? Like, this is the father of the baby. Mm. And she's like, are you sure you can handle this baby?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Kelly. You don't have a baby. Right. What is your, like, why are you here and tormenting this man? Like,
because you took teenage Jessica Alba's baby for 2 days. You think you know what it's like to raise a baby?
I get that, like, she's trying to help this woman, but she's going way too far.
Yeah, I don't like how she meddles in everyone's business.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
And, like, you know, of course then he's scary because he kicked a chair, so, you know, whatever.
See, I think that was the whole point of the scene is that, look how scary he is. He kicked a chair, everyone. If only they knew how many chairs I kicked at you throughout our
Price. Well,
that's a joke, everyone. Don't call the police.
No. He also didn't kick it at anybody. He just kicked it. Not that that's an excusable thing to do.
I mean, I did give you a black eye one time.
That was an accident. I did have a bone spur that took forever to, like, multiple years to go away. Yeah. But
I elbowed her in the, like, directly in the eye on accident.
Yeah, and apparently broke a little bit of my eye socket.
You know what's insane about that, too?
Huh.
Is that was maybe, like, I don't know, a tenth of the amount of strength I have.
Yeah, you could easily break a face if you wanted to. Thank God you're not abusive.
Right, yeah. I do. I feel like when if you're a strong person that you have even more of an obligation to be careful around people. But, yeah, I accidentally elbowed her in the eye one time, and then she went to work and...
Yeah, the social worker in the office next to mine was like, do you need to talk? And I'm like, no, it's okay. She's like, if your husband's hurting you, I'm like, he's not. I swear it was an accident. She just looked at me. She's like, if you change your mind. I'm like, but wow. It's not. It was awful. Like, I knew everybody was looking at me thinking that, too. That was awful.
I felt so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, I never kicked a chair at you, though.
No.
Or threw anything at you.
Hey, now. Let's not talk about that.
Well, I've never done it.
No, you haven't.
Anyway, so.
I was on steroids.
Yeah, that's true. So, they decide to call this woman who is has been able to help people disappear.
It's like the eraser.
Yeah, she's a professional disappearer.
This seems really weird. It seems like maybe a bit of an overreaction to
To a kicking chair.
She just got divorced.
I don't want to feel like I'm shitting on people that have been abused in relationships or whatever, or not shitting on necessarily, but taking it lightly, because obviously every situation is different and some people feel they need to run and leave or whatever to be safe. And that's, everyone makes their own decisions. I'm not judging.
Yeah.
But it does seem hasty. Like, She was being abused, and she divorced him. She got the courage to divorce him. He didn't try to murder her like you see sometimes, or whatever. I do think he's being a little insidious and trying to get into, to get her to be with him still. Like, I think you're right about that. And at one point, he does threaten her, sort of.
Oh, he does threaten her.
But
and he puts his hands on her later in the episode, and that's not okay.
We'll get to that. But like you said, they're freshly divorced. She lives by her. She lives without him, and she has the baby. Yeah, he has custody, or he has partial custody, or whatever. Nah. He gets to see the baby.
But it's only one afternoon a week, and every other weekend. That's a lot of time without him.
Right. And I don't know. I really feel like instead of jumping to let me run away, I know the courts didn't have your back this time or whatever because no charges were ever filed against him. But I don't know. Give it some time.
Yeah.
See if, first of all, maybe he won't be abusive to the child. Maybe he's just abusive to women.
I mean, he's obviously a shitty person.
Yes, obviously.
And you don't want a shitty person being a big influence in your child's life.
I'm just saying that it seems like a big jump.
Yes. Deciding to leave your entire life behind is a huge jump.
To where you can never contact anyone else. We don't know. Are her parents still alive?
Right.
Is she an only child? You can't ever contact your family ever again. And you can't ever go by your regular name ever again. You have to leave the states. I mean, I don't know where she's going to run off to or where she's going to go, but presumably it's out of the state of California because that would be too close to where he is. So you really have to uproot your entire life and live a false life and always kind of worry that he's going to show up or the police or the authorities are going to find out that you've been lying about your, because what she's doing, taking this child too, against court order, is a felony.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
As they point out in the episode.
So she's going to live the life of a criminal, always worrying, and she's going to try to raise a child that way. It's a lot. I feel like it's more than the episode even kind of highlights. This is a horrible existence.
Yeah, not a good idea.
That she's going to, and like I said, to me, this is a big leap. If they wanted this to feel like the only way out, they should have done some more things with this piece of shit ex-husband.
I guess.
To me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. You let me talk, and then we're trying a new thing where we're letting each other talk, I guess. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but sorry. But no, we were talking about them and her running. And so they're talking to the woman.
Oh, and so Kelly helps her all day long go around and try to get things in order to do this.
Because the woman can't help them because she's under investigation by the district attorney for the help she's given to other women to steal their children and leave.
Yeah, so she's like an accessory in all these crimes. So, yeah, she's probably going to prison.
So she's just like, here, I can tell you what you need to do, though. You need a bunch of new identification.
And so they go
and... of course.
Yeah. So they go and try to do that, but, like, they fail. Like, they're not able to find anything.
Kelly doesn't know fucking anyone that can do... Like, you have to... She's a pampered rich person from Beverly Hills. You have to know, like, the scum of society.
But somehow this ex-husband shows up at Kelly's house. Why are we all at Kelly's house now instead of at this lady's house?
It's the set that they're most comfortable with.
Where is the baby? Because, like, the baby wasn't there, and she acts like she has no one in her life. Then who is watching your baby right now?
Presumably, the baby, I guess, is in the other room sleeping in a crib that they bought to be in Kelly's house.
But who was watching the baby? Like, they came in, there was no baby with them.
I guess that's true.
So, I don't know. She's like, it's not your time with her, he says, because he said something about the baby. It's like, oh, yeah. where the fuck is she anyway? Yeah,
the husband just busts in.
Busts in, yeah. And he puts his hands all on her, and he's like, I know, I've been following you all day, I know what you've been doing. Where were they going? Like, fake IDs are us. Like, how does he know what's going on now? It's insane.
Oh my god. Sorry, we're all out of fake IDs, ladies.
But, you know, we brought an egg. I don't know.
Oh my god. but yeah, so he busts in, grabs her, says that, and he's like, I'm never going to let you leave. Never.
Yeah, you're not going to do this.
Do you think we're done with this?
And he shakes her. No, I think Kelly's going to suffer consequences for helping her. They highlighted multiple times how this was dangerous for Kelly.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe.
And the lawyer. And the lawyer ends up helping because Kelly is like...
Well, because Tori Spelling, a.k.a. Yeah. Donna,
and
waves her fake breasts in front of his face and says they need help. You know, this guy is a piece of shit or whatever. He's an abuser, and you helped get him off or whatever.
I mean, I don't. Did Donna really ask him for help? Because I didn't.
Yes, really, Donna was
Donna
like.
Did?
Yes, Donna. They were at the party. Donna said that she couldn't talk because he comes to the beach house to try to
Malibu Barbie Beach House
to try to talk to Donna, and he says she's like she basically just like shoos him off. And she says, yeah, that's the reason I couldn't talk to you at the house is because they were all there and Donna's been trying, Kelly's been trying to help them to escape, but she doesn't know anyone that can do it, get the fake IDs and stuff like that. And Kelly's calling airlines and she like hangs up with an airline and she's like, well, that was the last one. Apparently every airline requires a picture ID. No shit. What are you living in 1951?
Right.
Or yeah. You can just show up in a suit and be like, I've got to get to my business meeting. That's not how airline travel works.
Yeah, that was stupid. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they're just highlighting how much he's going to need ID to get through this. But
right. Yeah. So, yes. So he comes and helps them.
Well, first, him and Donna go on a date, basically.
Yeah, well, if you want, do we want to talk about
right, I guess we can
Donna storyline?
We can wait. Yeah, so he's like, I've got a forger who I helped out who owes me a favor. I guess that's the one good thing about being a defender, you know, defender, public. He's not a defender.
What one of the defenders of the earth.
Well, I want to say public defender, but he's not a public
defenders.
Defender. He's a lawyer that helps get people off, but what do they call them?
A criminal defense attorney.
There we go. So that's a perk of his job, is that yes. He knows all these criminals so he can get help.
Who also apparently works in family law as well, for some reason.
Right. So, yeah. So, he's like, here, they'll help you with everything you need. And she, like, just gets all bright and happy and like, oh, this is going to make everything great. And maybe we will never hear from them again. But I guess that means we're supposed to believe that this was the right call.
Which I don't think it is.
No, I don't either. It's stupid.
I feel like Noah should kill him with a gun or something.
I don't think that.
I think that would dovetail well with his, what if he was the other guy in the car? They had a chance.
Okay, so I guess we'll talk about Noah now.
Yeah, let's talk about Noah
now. Noah's going off the fucking rails as usual.
Noah apparently is an alcoholic. I didn't think he was before. Maybe his dad killing himself has turned him kind of into an alcoholic or whatever. I suppose trauma can probably do that a little bit.
Sure.
Or exacerbate problems that are not quite interfering with your life?
Well, he's using alcohol as a coping mechanism for his father killing himself. Right. Yeah. And it's obviously become a huge problem.
For the loss of Ray Wise.
So, yeah, he has to go to AA meetings. And he said something about he has to go to detox in a couple days. So he only had a couple days left till he had to go. So,
what does that mean, detox?
Detox, it's like a place where you go to detox from alcohol or drugs. Where, like, your body, you know, your body goes through withdrawal.
Sure.
And they'll give you, like, medication to help you get through it. And then usually from there they would transfer to, like, a residential treatment center where you stay there for, like, 28 days or whatever and get the help. Now, he didn't say anything about that. He might just be detoxing. That also can be happening.
How long does that take?
Detox?
Yeah.
Usually just like a few days.
Okay. Well, so it's... I've never really heard of that as a... But I guess it probably is. I know someone that was pulled over for drunk driving or whatever, did not have a history of that or whatever. And they did a drug alcohol screening, basically. Mm-hmm. Where somebody asked them a bunch of questions of like, hey, how often do you drink? And what kind of things do you drink? And blah, 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 and all this stuff and everything. And they scored low enough on it where they were like, well, you don't seem to have an alcohol problem, so you don't need to go to AA or whatever, detox. Mm-hmm. But I guess maybe he took that test and scored badly on it.
Maybe. I mean, it really, I guess it really depends on who you're dealing with, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's been ordered to go to AA meetings and to do a detox program. Mm-hmm. So he goes to go to AA, and he stands on the door, listens for a minute, is like, fuck this, turns around and starts drinking out of his fucking flask that he carries around with him all the time. He was talking to Valerie.
Yeah.
And he's like, what would you do if you only have 2 days left? Because he's got to go to detox in 2 days.
Yeah.
Now, she allows him to talk her into getting into a car with him.
She kind of wants to die, too, I think.
Yeah, that he's going to race. And she says...
That's also how he frames it, as if it's a race. It's not a race.
No, it's a game of chicken.
Yeah.
But...
Sorry.
Damn it.
He uses her car.
She asks him, have you had anything to drink tonight? And he says, not a drop.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you don't need to go to detox, but I don't even think it's true, because, like, every other scene we see him, he's drinking.
It is weird. They really are, they pulled this alcoholism out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's just another way that he's like Dylan, the character he replaced.
What do you mean?
Well, Dylan was an alcoholic.
Yeah, but he was always an alcoholic.
Well, not since birth, but yes.
But, I mean, during the show, like, he did not drink.
Right, because he had gone to treatment and everything. So they're putting him through the same paces. Like, he's going to get clean and then, well, I can't drink. I own a bar. I'm never going to drink. Well, I'm Sam Malone. Sam Malone was an alcoholic in Cheers. Do you remember that?
I do, honey. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I'm just checking. I don't know. Maybe you were a fetus when Cheers came out. I don't know.
Anyway. God damn it. What is wrong with my brain?
I don't know, but
it's really frustrating.
Yes.
Like,
it's frustrating for me too.
I'm sorry.
So they go to this chicken race thing. He's like, she goes, first of all, she says, do you need a partner? And he's like, yeah. And a car, fast car. So he uses her car. He's driving. She's in the passenger seat, but it's a game of chicken.
Yeah.
Do you need a partner?
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like,
is that so you don't die alone?
Yeah, it was fucked up. And so he's racing towards this other car, head-on collision oncoming. Mm-hmm. And she swerves the car. She reaches over, takes the wheel, and swerves the car.
Yeah, she was trying to save her car.
That other car did not swerve at all.
No, they would have just died.
They totally would have. I mean, that's awful.
I don't, like, it's, yeah, that's true. That's the game, though, right? To not swerve.
And she's like, get the fuck out of my car. You can die if you want. She's like, I'm done with this.
Get a ride with another one of your suicide junkies.
Right.
But she says, while they're in the car and they're racing, she's like, I'm not afraid, just to let you know, or whatever. And she goes, I'm going to do something really brave. I'm going to turn myself in.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I killed my father, Noah. Didn't he already know that? I thought he already knew that.
No. No, that's the... This is something else.
So this was a confession.
This is another person that she's told.
So she's told Noah and David and her mother. So three people
know. And the lawyer.
Four people know that she killed her father.
Jesus Christ.
That is way more people than should know about a murder.
No shit. Yeah, we've got our notebook. We know the rules. But yeah, so he has no visible reaction to it either.
Yeah.
He's focused on the car in front of him.
Yeah, and then she decides not to die and swerves out of the way. So.
And then she peels off after leaving him there.
Yeah.
So then he goes to Valerie's party. Valerie's having a party, which will.
What is up with this fucking party? Well, let's get to it now, because I feel like these stories are pretty intertwined, aren't they?
Okay, kind of. I mean, we can talk about Valerie's party. So Valerie is house sitting for somebody, and she knows a guy who will charge money. It's a beautiful mansion.
It is very pretty.
Who will charge money at the door, and he handles the catering, the music. There's like a band in town or whatever that she wants to listen to, and all this stuff, and they charge at the door, and then they split
$35 a head, I think she said.
And then they split the proceeds. $35 for a head's not bad.
Not forehead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
So
it's typically, I think, like 50 at least.
Is it?
At least.
Okay. I didn't know you knew. I don't want to know how you know. So wait. You never charged, did you?
No.
Okay.
Jesus.
Look on your face. Anyway, so she's planning this rave, this illegal. They're calling it an illegal rave. It's not really a rave. It's a house party.
Yeah. I mean, she's wearing a beautiful dress to this thing, not a rave outfit.
Right. It's a rave in the sense that it's a party that's not taking, a dance party that's not taking place at a club, I guess. But it's not, I mean, I don't see glow sticks. I don't see.
Nobody's doing
ecstasy getting thrown around or anything like that.
Nobody is sweating. Nobody is like.
There are no pacifiers.
Feeling the couch. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But, and the music is not.
No, it's not dark in there. It's well lit.
Yeah, nothing about it. The writers TV have no lighting. Idea what a rave is. That's the problem. They like, they need to stop trying to act like they know things they don't know.
Right. But anyway, so she's planning this undercover thing or whatever. She goes to Donna's, I almost said restaurant, to Donna's shop.
Yeah.
You wear this now or whatever. Wear this.
Yeah, now wear this.
And she's looking at stuff, and she's like, yeah, I need a dress for my party or whatever. And she's showing her different dresses. She's like, oh, no, it's hideous. This is all stuff that Donna's designed.
Right, and then she finally finds one she likes, and she's like, oh, that's not terrible. And she takes it in the dressing room and stuffs it in her bag.
And steals it. She doesn't even try it on. I wanted to see her take her clothes off. She doesn't even try it on. She just puts it in her bag and then leaves. Like, her and Matt, I think, or Noah. Who comes in? Matt? Noah comes in.
Noah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're arguing. And then she just leaves. And it's like, and this never comes up again.
Well, no, Donna does say something at the party. She looked at her and she in the dress and she goes, pathetic. And I think that's what she was talking about.
But, okay, she doesn't call her out. She's not like, where's my fucking money? Like, did she even let Donna in for free? Like, what the fuck? And it's like, there are no consequences to that happening.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. And, like, I don't know how she thinks she would have gotten away with this, because if Noah hadn't come in and they weren't arguing, it's not like there was anybody else in the store. She wasn't busy.
There was no one else in the store. And, like I said, when she wears it at the party, she's going to know she stole it.
And she does. So, yeah, it was stupid.
It's so dumb.
But, yeah, Donna and Noah are fighting, like, the whole episode, as usual.
It adds nothing, too.
The stealing?
Yeah, it adds nothing to the story. She might as well just have paid for it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Anyway, yeah, so Donna and Noah are fighting.
Like, Noah, or Donna tells Matt, the lawyer, that, she hasn't even seen Noah, like, since the trial, or I don't know.
Because he's sniffing around and everything, and she's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe we can be together. Maybe Noah and I are not together anymore, I don't know, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And, because he's asking, are you still dating? She's like, I don't know. How do you not know if you're still in a relationship?
Right. Well, she gave him like an ultimatum, and he didn't show up and stuff like that. So it seems like that they are kind of not together, but I don't know.
Yeah. So she asks Matt to go to this party with her.
Yeah.
And he's like,
fuck yeah.
No, he's like, go to the party as, and she's like, Noah won't be there. And he's like, oh, you want to have fun?
Mm-hmm.
Or. So yeah. He's like, wait, well, Noah will be there. She's like, it's a party. Yeah. Like, and he's like, oh, you want to have fun? Okay.
Yeah.
But Noah was there.
And she's like, and he's like, I got $50. And she's like, okay.
Gosh.
She says, okay. She's like, I'm a Beverly Hills girl, Matt.
It's $100.
Oh, exactly. we both did the same joke. Anyway, so yeah, he does show up. Noah shows up drunk out of his mind.
As per usual.
Valerie says to him before she pulls out.
Wow.
Not in that way. She doesn't have a penis. But before she leaves in her car, she says to him, you know, you need some serious fucking help.
Yeah. Well, he does.
So he's drunk out of his mind and everything, and he's falling all over himself. And so Donna goes to him, and he's like, don't leave. And she's like, yeah, I'll be right here. And he's like, no, I mean, don't leave me. I'm a Muppet. And she's like, okay. And so then later when she's talking to Matt, she's like, oh, sorry about the party. And he's like, let me guess, Noah needed help, huh?
Yeah. It's bad. It's ridiculous. This is a very dysfunctional relationship.
Well, most of Donna's seem to be.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, she's got her... you know, outstanding example of her parents' marriage. So
we don't know exactly what's going on with her and Matt and
Noah.
At one point, it seems like, what's her name? Kelly and Matt sort of have a flirtation.
Because
when he helps her, she's like, I judged you wrong and that.
Yeah, she was being flirty with him, which pisses me off because, like, I mean, I realize Donna's technically with Noah or whatever, but, like, Matt and Donna have been getting along way more.
Yeah.
And I don't like Kelly, and I don't want her to be with him.
But speaking of dysfunctional, like, you like Matt, don't you?
I think he's a good character. I think he's better for her than, like...
He's cute, isn't he? He's a cute guy. Oh, don't... You can admit it. He's a cute guy.
He's average.
No.
He's average.
I think he's more than average to me, but whatever.
Oh, really? You like him?
I think he's
dreamy?
I think he's handsome.
Okay.
I think he's more handsome than Priestley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Anyway, I think him and Donna together would be good.
Sure.
But not Kelly. But I don't think Kelly would be good with anybody.
No. But speaking of people that we don't like and dysfunctional relationships, Sophie's still with Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, and she's...
What's his name?
David.
David, thank you.
And she's got, like, some modeling gig lined up that was set up by the guy who wanted her to do porn.
Yes!
And he's like, you remember the party that he sent us to? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I'm still going to go. Was it the same guy that was photographing her?
Photographing her. Yes. I believe he was photographing all over the place. It was.
And she's like, he's like, okay, untie your top. And she's like, for a lipstick commercial.
Mm-hmm. Which, he's like, come on, show me your tits.
Which, yeah, that's fucked up. If she's really doing it for, like, lipstick, that's pretty fucked. And
we need to see if your nipples are as red as the lipstick.
And then he's like, take it off. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, you're never going to get anywhere in this town with that prima donna attitude. Mm-hmm. And what about the contract we signed? And you're going to owe us money for our time today. Like, did the contract say she had to get naked? Because she thought she was there doing a fucking lipstick ad.
I don't know.
So how is that the same thing? Like, that's fucked.
It's no, he's for sure. Like, I'm pretty sure that everything he was saying is bluffing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's just, this dude has no power in the industry. He's right. Like, good luck ever working again. You're a fucking sleazy photographer. You're not some high-class fashion photographer.
Right.
You were doing headshots for, like, $100. Did your contract state that we need to know if it's bubblegum pink? Like, what the fuck?
And so she listens to him.
Yeah, she takes the top off.
And like,
and she's, it's supposed to be like an emotional scene. She's crying and everything,
but smiling for the camera. And he's like, "Oh yeah, that's beautiful. Great job." Like, what is beautiful? Does that give you a hard on that she's fucking crying, you asshole?
Maybe.
Like, that's disgusting. Like, I agree.
I think it was 90210 giving us a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah,
this is what Hollywood's like, everyone. But we can't listen to that because people that try to blow the doors off that use the word retarded, and that's all we focus on.
I guess. I'm sorry, guys.
Anyway, so that happens, and David's like, "Look, she's like, I should have listened to you. It was terrible. I had to take my top off or whatever." And he's like, "Oh, it sucks because you know you're not well endowed." she says. He says, "Well, I got you an audition for a guy who I did a jingle for. He's making a movie or which something."
Well, he said for a film director that I did a jingle for. I have a question. When did he do a jingle for a film? Because, like, well, never.
Yeah, there are no directors. There are no jingles in film, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe if the film's about advertising or something. But I think the implication is this guy was a commercial director. And now he's directing a movie.
Okay.
A la Michael Bay.
Okay.
Michael Bay did that Got Milk commercial. Remember that one? Uh-huh. Where the fucking, who shot the Aaron Burr? And that, who shot fucking Alexander Hamilton in that famous duel? And the guy's like, Aaron Burr. And he's like, no. Wait, we don't understand you. Because he ate a peanut butter sandwich.
Okay.
His whole house is like a shrine to the Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton duel, and he's it's a call-in radio show or whatever. Right, he's gonna win $1,000 or something. He's like, rah, rah, rah. And then he's like, he gets the carton of milk and it's empty. He's like, rah, rah. Oh, we'll have to move on to the next call. Sorry, yeah. Michael Bay directed that commercial.
Okay, I did not know that actually.
Anyway, so I think that's the implication. So she's like, "Oh, cool, you're the best," and he's like, "In the meantime." Because her car gets repossessed. Mm-hmm. He's like, "In the meantime, to make money, why don't you be a waitress at the Peach Pit?" Apparently, Nat just always has an opening for anyone's friends.
Yeah. And she's a terrible fucking waitress.
Yeah. Which we don't really see a lot of. She goes to one. We see her at one table where she's like, "Here you go. Here's your fucking mega burger or whatever." And he's like, "Yeah, I didn't order this." And she's like, "Oh." And she's looking around. "Who ordered this?" And the guys, like, they left. They got tired of waiting. And it's like, okay, all right. I mean, I guess.
And she's like, "Do you want it?" And he's like, "Do I have to pay for it?"
He's like, she goes, "Nah, fuck it.
But don't forget to leave me a big tip."
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves her a $100 bill.
And she tries to give it back.
Which makes no sense. Like, you said, give me a big tip. And he did.
Yeah.
And you need money.
And you're money grubbing.
Right. But she's like,
you took your top off for money.
Yeah. But she's like, "Oh, I can't take this." He's like, "Yes, you can." He's like, "It's very unusual for somebody to try to give back money." And she's like, "Well, it's unusual for somebody to leave a $100 bill." He's like, "Well, I guess we have something in common." And he gives her his number.
Yeah.
He's like, "Use it."
He gives her his card, which I thought it was going to be like, "I'm a fucking talent scout," or
that's
something like that.
That's what I thought, too.
But he just is interested in her. And Nat, by the way, is talking to one of the customers, and he's like, it's so funny because it's off screen, but you can hear him talking and he's like, "Sorry, I didn't know this service was going to be so bad. I hired her as a favor to a friend. I didn't know she was going to be this terrible. She's fucking horrible." And she can hear every word he's saying.
Yeah, she's she is not making this work.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
So
Nat really made a meal out of the one line they give him.
So the next scene, we see her, she's sitting there eating lunch with this guy.
She used the number.
And she's like, "I have a boyfriend, just so you know."
And he's like, "Well, I have millions upon millions of dollars.
And I'm not interested in your money or your family's money," mm-hmm. which is such a lie.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, have you ever been to Paris?"
And she's like, "No. Who's in Paris?" And he's like, "I don't know, lots of people." And so he's like, "What? Don't be a naysayer, Carol." So he says, "Let's. I'm going to Paris on my dad's jet. It's not as fast as the Concorde, but yeah, you know, you don't have to go through security. You don't even need ID, he says, in case anyone's trying to get away from an abusive husband.
Right, there you go.
And she's like, oh, cool. Well, you know, I have a boyfriend. Let me think about it or whatever. And then we leave it. And then the next time she talks to David, she's like, hey, so I went on that audition you told me about, and I got the job. And he's like, oh, cool. And she's like, but the bad thing is it films in Paris. I don't even know how long I'll be gone.
Yeah, she's such a whore. And then she next we see her shopping at Donna's store. Why is everybody shopping at Donna's store now?
And why, like, if you're going to do this,
yeah,
if you're going to leave with a strange man, cheat on your boyfriend, whatever, and you need clothes, why shop at his ex-girlfriend's store?
Right, like, it's
with
fucking
the guy.
Beverly, yeah, it's Beverly Hills. There are a million places you could go.
Yeah.
Like, we've all seen Pretty Woman. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Huge mistake. No,
exactly.
So she says, he's like, oh, I love the dresses. We'll take them. And Donna's like, which ones? And he goes, all of them. Not all of them in the store, but all the ones she tried on.
So there's like a stack of clothes she's buying, mm-hmm. and David walks in and sees her.
And he's like, yeah, we're going to Paris. And we don't even have an itinerary. And David's like, Paris, huh? Oh, no itinerary? Thought it was a job or whatever. And then the guy, this is only a rich dude can pull this maneuver off.
Huh.
He goes over and he's like, you must be the boyfriend. And then he looks at Donna and goes, I'll see you outside. And walks
not Donna,
off.
Sophie, but yeah.
Sophie, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and she's just...
That's so awesome. Yeah, I'm going to be fucking your girlfriend is essentially what he's saying.
And so Steve, you know, called her a whore when he dumped her out at David's house.
Yeah.
And David calls her a whore now. And
yes.
And I kind of feel like she is.
She says, I came to Beverly Hills for two things, fame and fortune. And I didn't get fame in the 2 weeks I've been here.
He's so. Like in the month, 1 month. Like, yeah, she didn't give any time.
So now I'm going to take fortune, which means she is after his money.
Yeah,
she's a liar.
She is. Of course she is.
So they leave. He kisses her, and she says, he goes, stay. And she's like, I can't, and she leaves. Is she gone now? Is she gone for good?
Yeah, I hope to God she is. She can be over there in Europe with fucking Luke Perry.
Brenda,
and
Dylan.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I really hope that this is the end of her storyline. I feel like there's going to be at least one more thing that happens.
I don't want to. I want her gone.
But I don't like her, and I want her gone, too.
And the only other thing that happened in this episode is, and this is, like, so stupid.
We alluded to it already.
We did.
That she's going to try to confess.
Oh, that wasn't it.
Oh, what were you talking about? Oh! No, we got to talk. Let's do the confession part first.
Okay, go ahead.
So, she's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to turn myself in.
She being Valerie.
Yeah. At the party, the police come, and they're like, turn the music down and everything. You know, it's too noisy. It's too loud. And she's like, okay, we'll do that or whatever. She's like, there's one more thing, officer. Like, she's going to confess. And the officer goes, what? And it's like, pause.
Yeah, like 10 pause. Seconds go by.
Pause. And I just kept thinking, like, in real life, this guy'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What do you want?
What is going on?
Why are you just staring at me blankly? Where's that music? And then she's like, sorry for the disturbance. And as a cop, I would have been like, that's it? Why did that take so long? All right, see you later.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very weird exchange.
And so then she's like, David and the lawyer are talking, and he's like, look, she's going to do it. She might have chickened out at the party, but she's determined to punish herself or whatever. She's going to confess to this. And the guy's like, I'm telling you, it's going to be bad for her. Is there anyone that can convince her not to? And he was like, David's like, there's only one person I could think of, but it might make it worse. And the Matt's like, couldn't be any worse than it is right now.
Yeah.
Whatever. So she goes, she's at the police station. She's walking up to the desk sergeant. There's police walking all over the place. And then Michelle Williams shows up.
Yeah, it's like the perfect timing, which is just, you know, that's so stupid TV show, too.
And she says, Monday, Monday. No, she says, she's like, don't do it, Valerie. And then, like, they start talking, and Valerie's like, but I did it, I killed him, and everything. She's like, no, you didn't kill him, it was an accident, and, you know, I knew you were being raped and everything. And I wanted, like, it's a very intimate, close scene. They're close, it's a shot, reverse shot, so they're close up on Valerie's face, they're close up on her mom's face, and they're back and forth between the two. But it's very locked down, close. And I just wanted the camera to, like, back up a little bit and see, like, a ring of police officers standing around them listening, like, taking notes. Right? Like, okay, so she killed her dad. Like, because they're doing this right out in the open in a fucking police station. But she convinces her, they have closure, that she's like,
yeah, finally.
She goes, I could have stopped him raping you, but I didn't. And it's on me, really. And it's not on you.
She's like, I forgive you, Valerie, and you need to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. So hopefully maybe Valerie will start to heal now.
Yeah. The last thing that happens, though, the thing you're talking about, is that Steve and
Janet
have no stories. They basically have 1 week's worth of stories left.
That were all written by Brandon because he was their only reporter.
Right, and he's like, don't we have any stories not written by Brandon? And I'm looking around the office like, do you have any other writers?
Yeah, like what a stupid question. Like, this whole thing is so stupid.
Yeah, you ran a newspaper with one writer. So they're like, what can we do? And he starts seeing tabloids. And he's like, we could do this.
Yeah, so they decide to go ghost hunt.
Yeah. Supposedly there's a ghost in this hotel in Beverly Hills.
It was a hotel?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
But they get like...
I think it was like a closed down hotel or whatever.
They get the security guard to give them a tour, and then they want to go back into the haunted area, which is like the kitchen.
Yeah.
And they get locked in the walk-in freezer.
Mm-hmm. Now, he paid the guy. The guy's like, I never go in that fucking kitchen. And he's like, okay. And he's like, I'll turn a blind eye. You can go in there because you gave me money. But I'm not going in there with you or whatever. Just show yourselves out when you're done.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. So they walk into this walk-in freezer, which closes behind them and locks.
Yeah, what a stupid thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so then they're arguing about how they're going to die, they're going to run out of oxygen, and then they start kissing.
Yeah, I could see it coming.
Yeah, you called it before it happened.
She's like, oh, I hate you, and whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so they
fuck.
But here's the thing. In the morning then or whatever, the guy comes and lets them out. They're fine. They didn't run out of oxygen. But yet they were yelling at each other and having sex. Do you know how much more oxygen they would have used?
Right.
Doing all that stuff? Like,
but what's funny to me is, so there's several things that I need explanations about that are funny to me about this. First of all, they had high adrenaline situation or whatever. They had sex. When it was over, then what? Were they, like, for the rest of the night till they fell asleep, were they just like, well, I guess we're fucking dead. Like, I mean, what the fuck? And then the guy who says he never goes into the kitchen opens the door to let them out in the morning. Did he think they just wanted to go there to fuck?
Maybe. He said that lots of people fuck in there.
Yeah.
Which, that seems weird, too. Why? What's sexy about this walk-in freezer?
It's a ghost, because of the ghost.
Weird.
He's like, that ghost said a lot of X-rated nights, probably just sits up and watches. It's like porn for him.
Very weird.
It is really weird.
And then, like, Steve's like, are we going to talk about this? Or, what, you know, was it just a one-time thing or whatever? And she's like, oh, yeah, it was just the tension in the moment and life or death situation. Right. And then the building starts to shake because they think it's an earthquake.
Yeah. This made no sense to me either.
And this was in the office now.
So they hide underneath the desk and start kissing, making out.
Yeah.
And but then they show that it's a guy at jackhammering?
Now, this could be showing that that's why the building is shaking. It could also be a euphemism for what happens.
I don't think it's a euphemism. I understand where you're going, but I don't think it's a euphemism. I think it's just a stupid detail to include. It's like, oh, it's not an earthquake. It's just,
why does it matter?
Why is the whole building shaking because this dude's jackhammering? This building's coming down if it's that fragile. The fuck?
And why does it matter? Like, that was another thing that they did that didn't change the story.
Yeah,
the building could have shaken for any reason.
Right. Or they could have just been like, there could have been a gunshot or something like that. Or a siren could have gone off and they would have been like, oh, life or death situation again. Guess we should fuck. Like, it's obvious that they're using it as an excuse.
Right. So they should just get together, which they will.
Yeah.
I mean, at least she's, now she'll
Carol's be, predicting things, though.
At least now she'll be, like, earning her, you know.
Oh, my God. Finish that sentence. Finish that sentence.
Her credit. Like, in the beginning. Like, oh, you know, because, okay. like, she's in the beginning credits. Like, she'll be part of the show more now if she's his girlfriend.
I got it. Okay. Because the only value that a woman could have is a sex trophy. I get it.
No.
I thought you were going to say earning her paycheck.
That is not what I meant.
Wow. Okay.
Goodness.
Anyway, so that is the episode, though.
It is. So no more Jason Priestley.
Yep.
And no more, hopefully, no more Sophie.
Yeah, I hope so. Sick of her. But Carol, tell the people where they can have sex in danger.
Oh, dear Lord. You can write us at latefee1994@AOL.com. Mm-hmm. Check out our website at www.retrolatefee.com.
Yep.
And share the tapes with your friends.
All right, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.